There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Here is the last word today, which was memorably described by someone. I think it was Steph the other day, who described this bit as the bit with the headline with the word left out.
Yeah.
So we went, the last word. She went, yeah, that bit. Which actually we should call it that. And I think you made that point, Claire.
The bit where the headline's got a word missing, yes.
Yeah,
exactly.
So that's the new name of this segment.
Make a catchy jingle for that, please.
But here is that bit again.
The last word.
Police called to investigate woman's screams, but it turns out to be...
My favourite is worn-out fan belt of a car. That was Partha texting in earlier, which maybe... But I can see why that might work.
Yes, I can too. It's a very good answer. Yeah. There's quite a lot of answers coming in that I like. Alistair says Taylor Swift on YouTube, I think, is what he's trying to say there. Somebody else says... is that what he's saying?
He also said goat.
And a goat.
Yeah.
Taylor Swift goat.
Yeah.
Anyway, a mouse, somebody else says. Renee says a man singing in the shower.
Mm.
somebody else says a feminist or Jared Kushner.
Oh, I imagine that kind of interface. I don't even know. I don't want to think about it.
We've had a cat. We've had a dog from Anthony. We've had Sasha saying it wasn't her screaming, it was her laughing. Somebody else says she might have won a contest. It turns out to be a man, says Yusuf.
Yeah.
And Ian says parrot.
I did think parrot or cockatoo or something like that, or a family pet of some description.
Let me tell you the story. That was, in fact, the right answer, Ian. A UPS driver, so a parcel delivery driver in Oregon, heard what he thought was a woman screaming, help, help, from inside a residence as he passed. Obviously, was quite concerned, called 911, and the police turned up, but actually it wasn't a woman in distress at all. It was Diego, the family's pet parrot, who has been taught how to say help, help. So, yeah.
Diego.
I love the name.
So
I know.
Fantastic.
So it's Diego, the pet parrot.
Oh, dear. There's been some rumination over getting a dog in my family for the last year, and I've kind of resisted, but Diego the dog would...
Oh, brilliant.
That would be great.
No, you must get a dog. Do not resist.
Diego the cat. Yeah. Maybe not so much. Replacing Campbell the cat, who unfortunately died. I just wanted to mention something. He had a long and prosperous life. Do you know there was a sad piece of news last night? I forgot about this. And there are lots of Carluccio's restaurants here.
Sorry.
Which, go on.
Sorry, that's a terrible time to laugh. I'm so sorry. I don't know. It's a story you're about to say. Somebody just texted in the Bee Gees, and that's what made me chuckle on the lost word. Please move on.
That's funny. No, there are lots of Carluccio's restaurants here, aren't there? Antonio Carluccio died.
He did.
Yesterday. He was 80. And it's funny, and I was thinking, and I thought, oh, that's really sad, because he's done lots of TV programs, he's written loads of books, he has this really good quote. Let me read you the quote, and I really like this. This was his secret to a happy life. He says, my philosophy, or he did say, was to be happy and to make people happy. By a result, if you make people happy, they make you happy. I like to have money, because money is good, but it's not too good. You know, it was kind of very about perspective.
It's a lovely turn of phrase.
Yeah,
yes.
And he had that lovely kind of way about him. And then I was thinking a bit more, and I thought, I remember he was in here a few years ago. He's been up to Dubai a number of times, but sat in that very chair, straight ahead over there, chatting away. And do you know what? Sounds a bit twee when somebody has passed away to say, oh, they were so nice. But actually, he was really lovely.
Everything you read about him,
lovely,
and obviously
man.
There's been a lot written today, and the father, you know, godfather of Italian food and everything. Has said exactly that, a really, really nice bloke to
exactly
work for, to work with, to interview.
Same on TV, or the picture you have, the image you have in your mind of somebody on TV is when he was sat there, just very friendly, jolly, you know, that's very sad. Anyway, he was 80. That's Antonio Carluccio.
Trending today.
All right, you ready?
Maybe I was optimistic and thought I'd find a two, but I never did. No, I did really. Anyway, let's start with one. With US comedian Kathy Griffin. You probably remember she caused absolute uproar earlier this year when she posed in a photo with a model of the severed head of President Donald Trump. It was a pretty shocking image.
Bit much.
Mm. Well, you weren't the only one to think so. Huge outcry. Most people thought it was a bit much. Angry comments from an outraged White House, of course, and followed by an emotional apology from a very seemingly contrite Griffin, who had been swiftly dropped by several of her long-term contracts, including CNN, who she does stuff for. Well, now the outspoken comic is embarking on a European stand-up tour. She's given a pretty confrontational interview to the BBC's Hard Talk programme. Right. She rants a lot about all sorts of things, and the severed head stunt in particular. And Hard Talk Stephen Sacker asks her about that apology. Here's what she says.
I'm not sorry. I take the apology back 1,000%. And the reason I made the apology is that when the image went out, I really thought people would think it's just Kathy doing another shocking image. I've done many throughout my career, and I've said shocking things. So yes, I knew what I was doing. And the reason I apologize is my good friend Rosie O'Donnell, the preeminent expert, by the way, on being trolled by this fool, the accidental president, as I call it. And so she said the words, "What if Daniel Pearl's mother saw this?" And then,
and
of course,
remind everybody, Daniel Pearl, of course, the American journalist who was beheaded in Pakistan.
Yes. And so when she said that, I said, oh, my gosh. And I said, look, I've never apologized for a joke, but I get it.
So taking back the apology. Now, if you saw the apology at the time, she was not only apologizing for offense caused to people like poor Daniel Pearl's family. She was apologising in general. She said she got it wrong, she misjudged it, and she was very sorry. I think the initial reaction probably shocked her in the sense of the way she was deserted by a lot of showbiz friends who came out and spoke, said they thought it was too much, dropped by CNN, other places, gigs cancelled. Interesting that in this interview with Hard Talk, she goes on to say she still receives death threats regularly, gets hate mail. She gets stopped at airports every time she flies because she's on this no-fly list, and they check her. And her comedy gigs in the US have all been cancelled. She cannot get a booking in her home country. Mm. But here she is doing a European tour, in which I think it's called something like Don't Lose Your Head. You see what she did there. And a lot of the jokes are around this. So kind of convenient that she's now saying she never did mean the apology, because she's come up with all this material around it. I don't know. I mean, she's known for being controversial. I can't decide if I feel sorry for her or not. I think the White House machine probably did rally around to cause her a lot of trouble, this fact that she stopped at all airports and what have you. She thinks it's a massive conspiracy theory. She says that Trump and his family are trying to take her down. But the thing is, you know, yes, comedians are meant to push boundaries, but the choice of that imagery, you know, the severed head, holding the head, the US, understandably, very sensitive about the safety of their president, any president, however popular or unpopular he is. They're very, very security conscious, again, understandably. And also the fact that that image is really associated with very dark groups, terrorist groups, beheading people. You know, it just seemed in poor taste.
It's going to sell a lot of tickets on a European tour, though, that's for sure. So as a method of drumming up interest.
Worth checking out the interview, because she is on one. I mean, she is ranting throughout it. And in fact, she gives the presenter or the interviewer quite a hard time at times. So it's Hard Talk, so fair enough. But it's a good interview. It is a good interview. Never mind what you think of her. Let's move on to TV news here. Apple has announced a major scripted series winning a bidding war for an untitled drama, as yet untitled, starring Reese Witherspoon and Jennifer Aniston. And the big news, it's big news because it's Aniston's first leading role in a TV series since this.
It's a trifle. It's got all of these layers. First, there's a layer of ladyfingers, then a layer of jam, then custard, which I made from scratch. Then raspberries, more ladyfingers, then beef sautéed with peas and onions, then a little bit more custard, and then bananas, and then I just put some whipped cream on top.
What was the one right before bananas?
The beef? Yeah, that was weird to me too. But then, you know, I thought, well, there's minced meat pie. I mean, that's an English dessert. These people just put very strange things in their food.
I forgot that.
It's a good episode, though. That's Rachel Green in Friends, of course, messing up Thanksgiving Day dessert. It's 14 years since Aniston left Rachel behind, and this is a major coup for Apple. Not only because it's got Aniston in it, of course, but also because it's got woman of the moment Reese Witherspoon, who, of course, behind the hugely successful Big Little Lies. And so sure are Apple that this is going to be good. They've signed two seasons without a pilot being made, which is pretty rare in the world of TV. The new show will focus on the live of people working in the world of morning television. So, yeah, Let's see. Be interesting.
So this is Apple doing this. So this is Apple doing this for Apple. Apple TV.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So looking forward to seeing that. And very quickly, this one. Well, huge outcry online, Tim. Uh-huh. Nutellagate.
Oh, is it continuing?
Have you seen it?
I haven't.
It's been rumbling all week, to be honest. The chocolate hazelnut spread, obviously a global food phenomenon. People who like it are up in arms after discovering that the recipe has been changed.
Yeah, I did hear that.
More sugar and fat, fewer hazelnuts, a bit more milk powder. Ferrero's Nutella, Italian manufacturer, Ferrero is Nutella's Italian manufacturer, admitted that it carried out some fine tuning. It claimed that their recipe is absolutely fine. People won't notice. But the recipe tweaks were spotted by an eagle-eyed German consumer group called the Hamburg Consumer Protection Center. And they found that... they feel like the bad things have gone up and the good things have gone down, basically. Nutella fans furious. Furious. It's a hashtag trending boycott Nutella. Hashtag Nutellagate. A couple of tweets around. Guy says, yeah, real cool at Nutella USA. Why not draw a moustache on the Mona Lisa while you're at it? I love that one. OMG, they're changing the recipe of Nutella, wrote one Twitter user. No, how dare they? Leave the sugar and cocoa alone. And Anthony says, you wake up one day to have the usual and discover that Nutella does not taste like Nutella anymore. The world is ending.
That is trending. Today in 1958, this exceeded 3 million copies sold in the USA. You ain't nothing but a hound dog. You cry all the time. You ain't nothing but a hound dog. Crying all the time. Two other records have done that. Which is what they were back in the day. Bing Crosby's White Christmas and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer by Gene Autry. The only other
funny, wouldn't have guessed that.
I know, wouldn't you have thought? Hound Dog, Elvis Presley.
Great track.
1985, number one in the US. Jan Hammer. Brilliant. 1991, number one in the US. Remember this? Prince.
Oh, yeah.
And the New Power Generation. What a song. Let's move on to 2002 now. Viewers of the UK Music Channel VH1 voted this the most romantic song ever. Number two was Elvis's You're Always On My Mind. And Celine Dion, My Heart... We'll Always Go On was number three. We'll always love you. You have to do the fist, bring the fist down. Whitney, just lovely. So we'll finish today, number one in America, 1974. The singer stuttered through the lyrics of this. It was a private joke because his brother had a speech impediment. True story. The record company liked the take with the stuttering so much better, and it's number one today in America, 1974. Number one, 1974. Always associated with humour. These days, Bat Matena Overdrive. It is, right. Tiberius, congratulations. You have won the VIP Global Village Pack. The computer has chosen you. You will enjoy it. It is full of stuff. We will be in touch with you. And that's Drive Live today. That's Drive Live until next week.
It's been lovely to be here. Thank you for having me.
It's been good to have you back.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.